Hello, my name is Carol Good-Elliott. For those of you who don't know me or maybe don't recognize me with all my layers on, several weeks ago I got a phone call with an invitation to speak at one of the Advent services this year. I was excited to learn about plans for having a service outside at Whitmer Woods each Saturday evening, and I was also excited to hear that we would be using poems by Maya Angelou to help frame these services. So I said, sure. And then I discovered that the theme for this week is hope. Hope? Really? I'm supposed to talk about hope? I shook my head, recognizing the irony of me trying to talk about hope in this time of darkening days. I'm one of the many people who deal with increased anxiety and depression during the shorter months of daylight. At the moment, I'm doing better than many years at this time, and better than I was before the announcement 3 weeks ago. We'll see how it goes as the days keep getting shorter. Still, I thought, I can do this. I can come up with something to say about hope. And then I read the poem for this Sunday, A Plagued Journey, and I just shook my head again. I've been sitting with all of this now for a few weeks and mulling it over. I found myself feeling quite unsettled by the imagery in A Plagued Journey, I will admit. I've been reading it repeatedly and trying to sort through why my internal reaction was so strong. One aspect I've recognized is that I didn't want to have to work quite so hard to understand and make connections with hope. I wanted it to be nice and tidy. Ew, I don't really like noticing that sometimes I don't like working hard. Digging deeper, in this poem I was surprised by the way that sunrise and hope are depicted as invaders, triggering fear in the narrator. Why, I wondered, are light and hope so unwelcome? Sunlight, glorious sunlight in the season of clouds and shorter daylight, why would that be unwelcome? What I've come to recognize is that it reminds me too much of myself at times. In the times I've felt most depressed, I've struggled to get out of my bed, to get out of my room, even when it's sunny. And for there to be hope when I'm feeling so down, how can that be okay? Even when I'm not dealing with depression, there are still parts of the poem that are closer to home than I wish they were. Let me reread this part. Through all the bright hours, I cling to expectation until the darkness comes to reclaim me as its own. Hope fades. Day is gone into its irredeemable place, and I am thrown back into the familiar bonds of disconsolation. Many days, I go through the day okay, focusing on what I need to be getting done, seemingly coping all right with whatever comes up. And then it gets to be about 5 o'clock, and I start feeling, and too often acting, irritable, grouchy, discouraged. Ugh. I realized as I reread the poem that I don't want this to describe me. I don't want to sink back into the familiar bonds of disconsolation. And I started hearing myself whining inside. I want someone else to bring me hope. I don't want others to expect me to be the hopeful one who brings hope to them. Yuck. So now what? Now that I'm noticing these responses and recognizing these things about myself, now what? I'm reminded of the exhortation in the Mark passage today to keep watch, to pay attention. That passage is typically interpreted to be specifically talking about watching for signs of the return of Christ. And perhaps this is its meaning. I'm not a Bible scholar, so I won't dig deep into this. However, the reminder to pay attention and keep watch speak to me as an environmental educator and a naturalist. For the past 30 years, I've worked as an environmental educator in a variety of places. For the last 19 and a half years, at Mary Lee Environmental Learning Center of Goshen College. In this work, I have spent countless hours outdoors trying to help people of all ages notice and pay attention to what is around them in this amazing world. Working as an environmental educator isn't always a hopeful feeling thing to do. Goodness knows there are many, many changes in our other than human world, let alone our human world, that can, and sometimes do, lead me to a deep sense of despair. And yet, I keep working and I keep watching. I keep paying attention and being astonished and telling about it. And this is part of where I find hope. Hope in the fact that the population of native sandhill cranes is actually increasing. hope on an early morning commute recently when I was astonished by a pair of these cranes exploding up from a deep ditch and flying at eye level beside my car before veering up and away. Hope in the amazing adaptations of plants and of creatures like the one described in the story tonight about the turtle. Since the fall of 2019, the majority of my teaching time for work has been with 4- and 5-year-olds in Mary Lee's Nature Preschool program. This is a preschool program we started last fall with 2 other partner organizations. It is a 4-day-per-week program for a classroom of currently 15 students who spend their mornings inside at a local school building and their afternoons outside at Mary Lee. I have the gift of spending many hours outside with these children in all sorts of weather. I've gotten to see the world fresh and new through their eyes and their experiences. I highly recommend time playing freely in the woods and prairies with preschoolers as a way to be reminded of hope in the world. Paying attention to what young children notice, listening to how they think about and process what they notice, gently guiding their observations to broaden what they pay attention to. These things are gifts they and I share with each other. Children are hope. The tenacity of preschoolers has also helped me think about hope in another way. In her book, Wild Comfort, the Solace of Nature, Kathleen Dean Moore has an essay called Things with Feathers, a reference, of course, to Emily Dickinson's poem, Hope is the Thing with Feathers. In this essay, Dean Moore describes an experience of being with a very young child who just found a small dead bird right after it had died. This 2-year-old picked up the bird and held it tight, held it all day in spite of her parents' attempts to have her put it down, held on even after its head fell off, at which point she held the body in one hand and the head in the other, held on even when she finally fell asleep. Kathleen Dean Moore compares this tenacity, this holding tight, to hope. She says, hope keeps us alive even as we all move toward inevitable death. To hold on, fiercely to hold on, even if we believe we are condemned to a life without consolation, is the one triumph open to us. To carry on, to continue, to make or find what gentle beauty we can before our lives end, this is the thing with feathers, even when its head falls off. So, paying attention, watching, actively waiting for hope, where might you be finding it in these days? Where am I finding it? Here are a few last examples. Perhaps one of them will resonate with you as well. I find hope in the many colors outdoors, even in the late fall and winter. In the calligraphy of tree branches silhouetted against the deepest blue sky right before sunrise. In the brightness of the planets during my evening walk with my family. In the textures and the smells of fallen leaves. In the kindnesses of unexpected cards in the mail. In the creativity of meals outdoors across the lawn from friends, warmly dressed and speaking a bit louder than usual to be understood. In board games played with family in Pennsylvania by FaceTime. In contradancing with people in Chicago by Zoom while I'm in the kitchen at home with Phil and Alta and Benjamin. People learning from their experience and changing their behavior in order to better protect others around them. May each of us continue to watch, to pay attention, to be astonished by the hopeful things we notice, and to tell each other about it as a gift and a reminder.